Good to see everybody out this morning. It's good to have our visitors. Good to have John and Rita with us. Good to have Karen and her friend with us. It's good to be out. We've got a lot who are sick. We need to keep them in our prayers as well. And it's good to have Shirley with us. I was thinking about it. The last few weeks, Beth and I have been traveling quite a bit, and we've worshiped with at least four other congregations. And it's such a wonderful blessing to have a spiritual family, no matter where we're at, to worship with. Yeah, Nikki's here too. It's good to have Nikki with her family too. What a blessing, you know, whether the congregation is small or big or whatever. Yeah, what a blessing. And it's been a blessing this past week. Beth and I have had all four of our kids with us, and those times are very precious, and we're very appreciative for that. We're also glad to be home. I overheard Beth, and I think she's a little weary from traveling and packing and doing stuff. So it's good to be back. I want to finish our series on Abraham's faith. Please turn over to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17 in verse 21, we read, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." When Abraham was 99 years old, he was told this. He was told that Isaac would be born the next year when he was 100 years old. Turn over to chapter 18, starting verse 9. "Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' So he said, 'Here in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?' And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" Here we have some interactions about this coming Isaac that's going to come. And we fast forward to chapter 21, starting in verse 1. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." If you look at your footnotes, at least in the New King James, Isaac means laughter. I think that's kind of ironic. Verse 4. "Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.'" Sarah is also 90. So this is God fulfilling his promise. Last time we talked about the patience of Abraham, how he had to wait for his son. Now that son has come about. And now we get to chapter 22. Chapter 22 is a very striking story. It's a test. It's a test of Abraham's faith. And I've always wondered why did this test have to happen? You ever have that question? You read something in the Bible and you're like, why? Why did this happen? And I've racked my brain over that for years. And I don't know, maybe you remember in chapter 12 and in chapter 20 where Abraham was telling folks that Sarah was his sister because he was afraid, because he didn't have the faith he ought to have. Maybe it's because of that. Maybe God knows best. He knows why. His reasons are fine. I've always wondered that. Now we come to chapter 22.
Let's read together the first 19 verses. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place at which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Wow. Wow. You talk about accounts in the Bible that you can read that just are really impressive. This is one of those. Here we see Abraham, this son that he's waited for, and we figured out a couple decades he waited for him. This son, he's asked to sacrifice. And there's another sermon in here about the type and antitype with Jesus and Isaac. You know, this mount is the same mount where Jesus was crucified. Jesus carried his cross. Isaac carried his wood. And Jesus, the difference is Jesus was sacrificed as the lamb. Here, Isaac is to be offered. And then God, using an angel as a spokesman, intervenes. It's really a powerful, powerful story. And I want us to glean some things from this, as we've done in the previous three lessons. You know, what does this tell me? What can this story do to help me in my walk as a Christian? First question I've got for us to consider. Are we willing to obey God when he asks us to do something that does not make sense in our minds? Daniel touched upon this in his lesson. Does this make any logical sense to Abraham? You know, when you think about it, think it out. Does it make any logical sense? Here's this son, you know, Ishmael wasn't the right son. It had to be Isaac. It had to be Isaac born of Sarah. And here this one son that I've waited years and years for, I'm to sacrifice. Does it make any logical sense to us or to Abraham? No, it didn't make any sense. You know what? Sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense. Are we willing to obey God when he asks us to do something that doesn't make sense in our minds? Question number two. Okay, this is a little different one. As children, I'm a child still. I still have a father and mother that are living. So this applies to me. Most of us in here have earthly mothers and fathers. As children, do we trust and obey our parents when they are following God's will? You know, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us, a very simple verse, but it's a command. Colossians 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. As children, do we trust and obey our parents when they are following God's will? Do we trust and obey our parents when they're following God's will? I think that's a good question. We see that Isaac, he's very perceptive, isn't he? Okay, I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Abraham tells him, I'll provide. And then the account shows where Abraham is building this altar. And in verse 9, he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You know what's missing here? There's no record of Isaac resisting in any way. There's no record of that. There's no record of Isaac questioning this. Why is that? Because Isaac trusted his father Abraham. He trusted him and he obeyed him. What a powerful lesson. As children, do we trust and obey our parents when they are following God's will? Question number three. Do we have faith God can take care of us when things look bleak? Do we have faith that God will take care of us when things look bleak? Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Do we have faith that God can take care of us when things look bleak? I checked, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but up to this point in Genesis chapter 22, I don't believe anyone has ever been raised from the dead before. But yet, what does it say here in verse 19? Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to God, common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God asked a lot of Abraham. He asked a lot of Abraham. But Abraham had faith that God was going to take care of it. God was going to take care of it. Question number four. Do we always trust that the Lord will provide no matter what? Do we always trust that the Lord will provide no matter what? Let's look over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What is Paul telling in Romans? He's saying, you know what? God gave you Jesus. He gave his only son. Certainly he's going to give you whatever else you need. Do we always trust that God will provide no matter what? Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And then over to the book of Psalm, chapter 34. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Psalm 34, 10. The young lions lack and suffer the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Do we always trust that the Lord will provide no matter what? Last question. Are we willing to obey God without delay? Without delay. Let's turn back into Genesis chapter 22. Notice verse 3. Abraham has just been asked to take his son, his only son, whom you love, and go and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. Notice verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Are we willing to obey God without delay? He went early in the morning. Let's look at a couple of examples, more examples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. I always thought this example was a really great one for me personally. Acts 5, verse 17. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So the apostles are in prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Okay, they've just been thrown in prison for preaching. The angel of the Lord is telling them, go out again and preach. Next verse. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. Are we willing to obey God without delay? Great example of the apostles doing that. Acts chapter 16, verse 33. We have the account of the Philippian jailer. And notice verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. This is the jailer is washing the stripes of Paul and Silas. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Are we willing to obey without delay? We've covered lots and lots of lessons from Abraham's faith. If you're not a Christian this morning, why not learn from his faith, Abraham's faith? We talked about how he trusted in God to move his family and his extended family far from his homeland, and they lived in tents for decades. We talked about how he had faith in conquering enemies. Remember when he rescued Lot? He had faith to do that.
And then he had humility to pay tribute to one who had more authority than him, in Melchizedek. He developed patience as he waited for his promised son. And then, as we've talked about this morning, he demonstrated his faith in being willing to offer up Isaac because God asked him to. Trust and obey God today. That's what I get out of this series. Trust and obey God. Nate's going to lead that song for us in a second, and I appreciate him doing that. Because God will deliver us from our enemies, and he'll provide us an eternal home. And that's what motivated Abraham. Let's go back one more time to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. It says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." That's why he lived in tents. That's why he followed God. That's why he obeyed God. That's why he was willing to sacrifice his son. See, because he was waiting for the city built by God. Our last reading this morning is from Galatians. And it's a reading that I read quite often because I think it's a really cool reading. Puts so many things together. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. After this study on Abraham, it really, to me, it makes this passage even more powerful and meaningful to me. Starting in verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ," notice this, "then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Faith like Abraham. Let's all try to have faith like Abraham. Let's all strive to be trusting and obedient to God in all that we do. Whether you're a Christian or you need to become one, we have a song that Nate's going to lead, "Trust and Obey." That's what it comes down to. Our whole life should be focused on trusting and obeying our Lord. Abraham shows us how to do it. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.